kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, yet another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he'd said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you'll deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Having been tenant long to a rich lord, not thriving, I resolved to be bold and make a suit unto him to afford a new small rented lease and cancel vold. In heaven at his manor I sought him. They told me there that he was lately gone about some land which he had dearly bought long since on earth, to take possession. I straight returned, and knowing his great birth, sought him accordingly in great resorts, in cities, theatres, gardens, parks, and courts. At length, I heard a ragged noise and mirth of thieves and murderers. There I him espied, who straight, "Your suit is granted," said, and died.
Cost was borne by many in these events we enter into today. The cost of betrayal was too much for Judas. The self-loathing he experienced was so profound that his sight was clouded and he could see no other remedy for his pain. He took his own life because the cost of betrayal took him to the depths of darkness. The cost for Jesus' friends was profound. We know they found strength together, for we read that after Jesus' death, they were all in one place, in one room. We know that the women could find them in a group after they visited the garden on the third day. Their disillusionment would have been profound. Jesus offered so much. They gave up so much. And now Jesus was dead, and they had to face their families, their communities, and all who would have wondered about them anyway for following Jesus. Whereas in the past they would have had Jesus to accompany, encourage, and challenge them, now they were on their own. And the cost for Peter. Jesus had tried to prepare him for the moment in the courtyard, the high priest's house. Jesus had held out his hand of understanding to Peter in advance of what he feared might happen. When Jesus told Peter that he'd deny him three times, he didn't tell him off. He didn't castigate him. He'd done that many times previously, and he could have done. This time it was different. Jesus simply told him that he would deny him, and goes on further to say that he'll be shifted like wheat, not at all a gentle metaphor. Peter thought he could do what Jesus knew he couldn't, and Peter paid an enormous cost. When Luke writes that Peter wept bitterly, he uses the same word as does John when he writes that Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. The same howl of lament shouted by Jesus over Jerusalem is how this bitter weeping of Peter's described. He was devastated, and like Judas, he was in the depths of despair. Peter remained as close as he could to Jesus. Only he or Jesus could have told the others what happened in the courtyard. Peter doesn't come out with flying colors. But it's here for us in our Gospels, because there will be times when we, like Peter, will know that Lord's look. When we're confronted with the dignity, the faith, the trust, the love of Jesus, it requires something of us. The look which Jesus directed at Peter required something of him, and he knew he couldn't give it, and he howled in remorse. And the cost was paid by Jesus. We know and we wince quite rightly when we consider his physical pain. But this has only just begun in that courtyard. What happens here is mild by comparison with what's to come. In the courtyard, the cost Jesus being asked to pay is that of betrayal and desertion, not just by Judas, but by every one of his friends save the women. This cost is borne today throughout the world by our sisters and brothers in Christ who, because of their faith, have been deserted, betrayed, physically and emotionally deprived. They have what Peter had, though, Jesus' presence and encouragement, and they have the encouragement of our prayers. But what we learn from them is there is a constant cost to discipleship, and there may be a constant temptation to deny. We are not persecuted for our faith in Christ. We are indeed sometimes misunderstood. We don't physically suffer, but we may well know the cost through the misunderstanding of family and friends. There's a cost of discipleship in the way we're called to order our lives in service to others, in giving away our money and our time, in being prepared to stand out because we don't join in with the ordinary teasing or bullying which is part of many workplaces and schools today. There's a cost of discipleship in that we follow Jesus who refused to hate. Hate begins with thinking someone is less than ourselves. It would be quite rational in many ways to fit in with one notion of God if Jesus did indeed give way to anger or hate. The way, though, that the look of the Lord to Jesus is described by Luke is that Jesus didn't just look at him. Jesus looked into him. Straight into his heart, into his depths. He looked into Peter with love, the same love which had tried to prepare him for this moment. This is the cost which Jesus bore, shown in the look of forgiveness. Discipleship costs because we follow the one who bore all the costs for Pilate, Herod, the soldiers, his friends, Judas, Peter, the religious leaders, and those who hammered the nails. All those who were looking for a different Messiah were disappointed. They ran off, and Jesus paid. I straight returned, and knowing his great birth, sought him accordingly in great resorts, in cities, theatres, gardens, parks, and courts. At length I heard a ragged noise and mirth of thieves and murderers. There I him espied, who straight, "Your suit is granted," said, and died. There is a cost to discipleship, a deep, profound, and challenging cost. When they'd kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know you, him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, yet another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he's a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked into Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he'd said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly.